Hello, welcome to another season of Sage Reverie. Today we are talking about listening well. Let's jump into it. Welcome to Sage Reverie, a podcast where we seek to live well and live wisely. I'm Mike Wilson.
And I'm Wes Smith.
We live in the great state of Wyoming, and each week, from a biblical perspective, we discuss a trending topic and what others are saying about it. If you're using these episodes for your group, there are discussion questions in the description. And for more information about our ministry, visit church307.com. Yeah, we're going to talk about listening well. Today's Grandparents' Day. Do you have any grandparents that are still alive, Wes?
No. Long past that season.
Yeah.
I'm closer to being a grandparent than having grandparents.
Not quite there yet.
Yeah. I can't get my kids to have kids yet, but I'm trying.
Yeah. I am there also with not having grandparents thing, but I do remember when I had grandparents, remembering to call them every once in a while was important, and I need to learn from them. They've got some wisdom that they've built up and need to listen to them and pay attention. But then I think probably grandparents have the same thing. Like, they need to make sure that they're connecting with and listening to it.
So absolutely.
How was your summer?
It was fantastic. Beautiful summer. Didn't get everything done I wanted. Right.
But that's how it works.
That's how it goes. Yeah. It's great. Ready for fall.
England.
Yeah. You and I got to go, right?
That's right. Yeah.
So, it was a good time. Learned quite a bit, and gotta love the USA, though.
Man, it was good to be home.
Oh, man.
Our food is better.
It's so much better. So many things that are better, and food would be at the top of that list, right?
Yeah.
So
we did a tour of John Wesley's life, and we're Wesleyans, and reflecting on John Wesley, and learned a lot from that trip.
But yeah, absolutely. Good to be back, though. Yeah, great summer. You?
Yeah, it was very good. Same thing. We always pack full our summers with all the to-do lists. Mm-hmm. And then the snow hits and it's like, all right, now we got to slow down a little bit.
Yeah, for me, the fall is it's packed with work. And as you know, I'm a hunter. So try to have my vacation time in the fall, and summer's to-do list time. So if I get 2/3 of it done, it's a win.
Yeah.
That's where I'm at.
Kept your wife happy.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm still married, right?
So
it's all good.
Success. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Let's jump into listening. This is not something. Have you ever had to preach about something you're not good at? I do it all the time.
Sure.
This is one of those topics that I'm not naturally. Yeah, that's right. I am not naturally a good listener, but it's something that I've learned some lessons on over the years that I feel like I've gotten better.
Okay.
it. So this is a topic I feel like is valuable. And you brought it up last semester as a potential topic. So let's jump into it. I watched this video on one of these TED Talks, and I felt like this might spark some good conversation.
A conversation requires a balance between talking and listening. And somewhere along the way, we lost that balance. Now, part of that is due to technology, the smartphones that you all either have in your hands or close enough that you could grab them really quickly. According to Pew Research, about a third of American teenagers send more than 100 texts a day. And many of them, almost most of them, are more likely to text their friends than they are to talk to them face to face. There's this great piece in The Atlantic. It was written by a high school teacher named Paul Barnwell. And he gave his kids a communication project. He wanted to teach them how to speak on a specific subject without using notes. And he said this, "I came to realize..." that conversational competence might be the single most overlooked skill we fail to teach. Kids spend hours each day engaging with ideas and each other through screens, but rarely do they have an opportunity to hone their interpersonal communication skills. It might sound like a funny question, but we have to ask ourselves, is there any 21st century skill more important than being able to sustain coherent, confident conversation?
Yeah, social media and our phones have caused us to improve our communication skills. Like, how do I present myself? How do I come across? How can I say things more succinctly? But they've done very little. In fact, they've taken us in the wrong direction when it comes to listening. We're giving feedback on what restaurants we visit, or reviewing everything we buy on Amazon. We're constantly communicating things to others, but not doing much listening. Maybe it's time we start teaching kids, and like, we need a class in school about how to listen well. I don't know, but we need some improvement in this area.
Yeah. You know, this is something for me, it's been a growth area the last 2 or 3 years. I realized probably didn't do this as well as I should. So started to take it seriously. I feel like God spoke to me about that over time to say, Wes, this is the next thing for you. And I have since come to conclude that it's the key to everything. And that sounds like an overstatement. I don't think it is. It's the key to everything. And it has impacted my life in so many profound ways over the last 18 to 24 months that I've become just a zealot for this idea of learning how to listen well. Emotional management, conflict management, my ability to be a leader has drastically grown because I've become a listener. But as a husband, as a dad, it's had huge, huge impact. And if I could go back and change one thing about my life, like if I could be a 20-year-old again or a 30-year-old again and change one thing, this would be it. I would be a better listener. The great heartaches of my life, I think, would have all been different if I would have been a better listener. It's a big deal. It's huge. And the thing with, you know, texting or whatever, we've lost the listening to the what's behind the word. So we still get the word, but we've lost that's what we've lost. And it's impacting us hugely. Absolutely.
Yeah. There's a difference between hearing somebody and really listening to somebody.
Yeah.
It's like when I give them instructions and then they don't do what I say, I said, did you hear me? And they can repeat back what I said, but they weren't actually listening. They heard my words, but they didn't really lean in and listen and let it impact them and their actions.
That's right.
Emotional management. Yeah. Are you talking about managing your emotions or the emotions of others?
My emotions.
Okay.
And as I manage mine, I then help others manage theirs in the conversation.
Okay.
And so I don't manipulate their emotions, but I do encourage them to manage them well by the way I'm doing. You know, you're a pastor, so you know what James says about this, right? Brother of Jesus, right? Says there's an order to all of this. And he ends with a comment about anger, which is emotional management, right? You know, he says, so you should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and then slow to become angry. And so emotional management is the result of this process that he points out, which is be aggressive, enthusiastic about listening. Well, it turns out there's a whole bunch of ways to do that. Be reticent, be timid about speaking. And if you do that, your emotions, the way you live your life, will be out of a wise way of living, not out of a reactive way of living. And so there's this whole beautiful stream, a way of living life, that if you get it right, if you figure out how to be the listener you were created to be, I'm telling you, it changes your whole life and the people around you. It's amazing.
Is it more about the learning that you do when you listen? Like Jordan Peterson talks about how he can learn something from anyone.
Mm-hmm.
Is it more about that? Like you have something to learn from everybody, or is it more in the not speaking? Mm-hmm. You are like what is it actually that's creating your positive emotions?
I think the learning is part of it, but I think more deeply than that, it's the posture. So when I listen well, what I'm doing is saying you matter a lot. And instead of using words to say that, and we're all in a world where we're cynical about words, but when I listen well, I authentically let you believe that it's real, that you matter a lot, and that I'm putting you before me. And that does two things. One is it builds you up. So even if we're in conflict, even if we can't stand each other, we're coming at it from different angles because I'm building you up, but I'm also doing something inside of me. I'm teaching myself that, you know, we talk about the golden rule, right? Love God with all your heart. He's number one. And then love your neighbor as yourself. I'm teaching my inner core that. Mm-hmm. And that does something powerful in us that can't be done just through trying hard, but listening begins to do that. Mm-hmm. So it's about the posture of those two things at once. Of course, I'm also learning. Of course, I'm also having to be wiser now about my response because I'm, you know, when you and I are talking, right? Like even in this moment, but especially if we're in conflict, you're stating your opinion. Mm-hmm. And as you're doing that, I'm kind of trying to hear enough of your words so my response will make sense, but I'm formulating my response,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
If I listen well, I'm forcing myself to not do that.
Yeah.
Because I'm not going to respond with my opinion next. Listening well is asking you more questions about your opinion.
Yeah.
And giving you more time than me.
Yeah.
So one of the things that I do now in leadership meetings or a conversation with my wife is I do my best to make sure it's 70-30. Mm-hmm. You 70% words, time, all that, me 30.
Yeah.
And so I am going to listen well. I'm going to bring that out of you. And it's amazing what happens. Your 70% does powerful things in you. You feel heard and understood, but the 30 does powerful things in me.
Yeah.
I'm not, it's not about me, and I better make my 30% count because I've only got 30%, right? So yeah. I say wiser things.
Yeah.
It's a powerful process when understood appropriately.
There's a proverb that says the man who speaks few words appears to be more wise than he is or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I want to be that guy. Yeah, I want to appear to be more wise than I am because I say few words.
Yeah. I'll lead, I lead meetings, large meetings, right? And the leader of the meeting is supposed to be the one who speaks the most. That's what everybody thinks, right? Yeah. It's interesting, though, if you do it differently, where you intentionally set it up so you're one of the people who speaks the least. Mm-hmm. When you do speak, it carries weight.
Everybody listens.
And I've learned this. Oh, I wish I would have learned this as a leader. You when you lead a staff meeting, when you lead a board meeting, when you lead whatever, you do yourself such an injustice. Mm-hmm. When you speak, I think the thing I've learned the most from God on this is just shut up way more and you'll be better. So it's been powerful in so many ways. You know, of course, we could do a whole podcast on marriage and listening, right?
Oh, man.
Holy cow. You talk about radically changing things.
Yeah.
It's been wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the thing that has helped me most in the way that I've learned to listen most is active listening. Mm-hmm. So if I sit back and I just listen, mm-hmm. Then at some point in whatever you're saying, I'm going to get confused or you're going to reference something that I don't understand or somebody that I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
And as soon as I get confused about something you're saying, or I get lost in the story, my mind just tunes out.
Yeah.
If I can't track with you. Yeah. And so for me, a big key is I make sure I understand.
Yeah.
I want to understand while you are saying what you're saying. Yeah. Yeah. And so often for me, especially in counseling, how that works is I will interrupt people regularly, not because I don't want to listen to them, but because I want to make sure I understand before they move on.
Yeah. Listening's not hearing words.
Right.
Listening is understanding your heart.
Yeah.
Right. So listen, great listeners often interrupt.
Yeah.
There's a back and forth in listening that's critical to listening.
Yeah.
And so speaking is a key part of listening.
Yeah.
It really is. But it's pulling what the communicator wants to tell you out of them is listening. That's what real listening is. So you're right on. And I do think you do that really well. Just fantastic with it. And we can all get better at it for sure.
And for me, it usually comes out like, well, hold on. Who's that?
Yeah.
Why did that happen? Yeah, or what happened there?
Tell me more of that part.
I need to drill down because I don't understand.
Yeah.
Maybe you said it right, but I didn't hear it.
Yeah, yeah.
I need to make sure I hear it.
Yeah. That's 70%. If you can do that 70%, and then you share a thought is 30, now you're onto something.
Yeah.
You're engaging and listening and you're reticent to do. Oh yeah. It's brilliant. Yeah.
You talked about conflict management.
Yeah.
And I think one way that we use this, or one place we use this, is in our marriages in parenting our kids. How has this helped in your conflict management?
Yeah, most people who are at odds, the thing they will say about the person they're at odds with is they've never heard me. They've never given me a chance to share what I really believe. And the other person will always disagree with this, right? Like, you've talked for hours, whatever. But it's not about receiving words into our ears. You know, I just repeat that often because so much of conflict management is about making sure a person felt heard.
Yeah.
But it's more than just, okay, if you want to tell me a fact it's more than just acknowledging that I have received and heard the fact. Mm-hmm. It's also valuing why you believe that fact is important, why that fact is important, why you're wise to have pointed that fact out. There's so much more than just agreeing about the fact.
Yeah.
Right? Hearing somebody is also hearing more than just the information, but why they shared that information.
Yeah.
That's really hearing and listening. And that's making somebody, and when you do that, it's a rare moment when you can't start to find common ground.
Yeah.
Or at least point them in that direction because they've been heard.
Yeah.
Right. It's so key.
It seems like there's a spectrum there where on one side of the spectrum, you're hearing them out. Maybe you don't agree with them at all, yeah, but at least you're hearing them fully.
Yeah.
The other end would be we've talked it out and we've come to complete agreement.
Yeah.
Usually the solution is going to be somewhere in the middle where we can come to a compromise and say, I'm not going to get my way. Yeah. You're not going to get your way, but at least we're talking it out and hashing it out till we can get to compromise.
Yeah.
One key for me there has been just learning to choose my battles.
Yeah.
There's so often that I'm in conflict or disagreement with somebody and I'll hear them say 10 things that I disagree with and I'll want to nitpick and correct everything that they said. Yep. But really what I need to do is figure out where is the core of the disagreement?
Yeah.
What's the most important thing for us to solve and try to correct in this conversation?
So many times, here's what I'll do if I'm helping two leaders of organizations who are in conflict. Here's what I'll do is I'll say to one, this time is about you sharing your position. Mm-hmm. And I'll encourage the other one, because you know when you're in a conversation and you're sharing your position and you can see the other person formulating a response and sort of deciding whether they agree or don't agree as you're sharing that. You know that's going on, right? But you're in other conversations where somebody is truly wanting to learn.
Yeah.
Like what you actually think about something. It's a totally different conversation.
Absolutely.
They both may be nodding. They both may be hearing your words, but it's totally different, right?
Yeah.
So I'll say to the person, this whole conversation is about you sharing the other, I'll encourage maybe to ask some questions and let's leave this first discussion deciding where it is at the core we disagree, not trying to solve it, just deciding where it is. If you can do that in conflict, just say, can I think and pray about this for a couple of days? Mm-hmm. I think what I'm hearing you say is where we most disagree is here. I just want to think and pray about that. This is new for me because we figured that out. Can I have a couple days to think and pray about that before I come back with maybe what I would like to share? That goes so long because you didn't just jump back with your deal. You processed it. You heard it. You took some time. Now, it's important. Listening well doesn't mean you never speak, though.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean you don't have an opinion. Doesn't mean that you don't disagree. Mm-hmm. But boy, if you can get that 70-30 and just even in so many conversations, I'll say, wow, this is new for me. Mm-hmm. Thanks. I need to think and pray about this.
Yeah.
And boy, that goes so far. Yeah.
How does that play into our marriage relationships and our parenting relationships?
Yeah.
I want the one thing that you hear people say often is the wife was talking, the husband was trying to fix her problems. Mm-hmm. And so rather than really hearing her, which is what she wanted, he was trying to fix her. Mm-hmm. Is this part of that conversation?
Yeah. Part of listening well for me has been waiting to give input until I'm asked. Mm. So I love to help people. Mm-hmm. And I love to do that by giving advice, right? Pastors, people come to seek our advice. So we kind of get in this mode of giving advice. And then, you know, before I was a pastor, I was a business consultant. So my job was to give advice. I love giving advice. Mm-hmm. That's why you talked me into this podcast.
That's right.
As you said, you're going to get, but the reality is unsolicited advice is worse than advice.
Yeah.
Good advice. Unsolicited advice is super harmful and is not only not well received, but it often causes people to do the opposite of what they should.
Right.
So I gave way too much unsolicited advice in my 20s and 30s and 40s. Mm. Way too much. There's times when you have to do that. You have a 7-year-old?
Yeah.
you have to give some unsolicited advice.
That was going to be my first comeback. Right? I'm like, how do I do that with my 5-year-old?
You're going to have to sometimes give unsolicited advice in life. But wow, that should, as they age, that should decrease so that by the time they're 14, 15, if you've done this right, you're giving almost no unsolicited advice. So little of that should be when your spousal relationship. And so now I lead a whole organization, and I occasionally have to sit down with some people in the organization and give some unsolicited advice. But boy, that's got to be super.
Yeah, you've done it to me. It's good, though.
Well, like, you'd be an example. There are some people you have to give unsolicited advice to. But you want to make that so rare. Hopefully less than 10% of the advice I give is unsolicited.
Yeah.
If I'm doing my job right. And now sometimes I will say to somebody, I'll say, I think I might have some ideas. If you want to, let's schedule some time someday.
Oh, that's good.
And I just leave it in their court, right? Yeah. Or I'll say, hey, there's a couple of great books about that. Mm. If you want sometime, I can share that with you. Let me know. Mm. And I just leave it at that. If they want, they'll dig into it more, and then they'll ask more, and then I'll dig in. But, Jesus says, don't, give your pearls to swine or whatever. You got to be super careful about. I have some huge regrets as a dad, huge regrets. And every single one of them involve words that I have given in unsolicited advice moments that I'd love to take back.
Wow.
And it has done so much damage. And so, mom, dad, if I could tell you one thing about your parenting, it would be use your advice wisely. And as they age, hopefully they'll embrace advice, but they're going to go through phases where they don't want any, and they don't. Boy, just be wise about unsolicited advice. I try to help other people give people advice. So I may set up, you should go talk to this person. Yeah. I think you have some wise things to say to them. Yeah. But rarely will you get me to just give advice without
throw asking. Me under the bus.
Absolutely.
So what's the hierarchy? How do you determine what advice is worth giving and what isn't?
If their life is in immediate danger, right? So threat to body or health in some way, that's unsolicited advice right away. But if there is something that the natural consequences that will incur from them making that choice, if they can recover from those consequences, then I try to hold off. It might hurt, but if I think they can recover, if I don't think it's a path that can't be reversed, I will do my best to wait till the pain hits to give advice. Because that's usually when it's asked for, right?
Yeah.
If I see that it's going to lead to pain or trauma that probably can't be reversed, that's when I'm most likely to jump in with unsolicited advice in some way. But even in that, I will start it this way. Unsolicited advice usually should go this way. Can you share with me sort of the process you're going through in making that decision? I'd love to just know more. Just looking from the outside, I'm not sure about that decision. Could you share with me that and see if I can get them to process that? 8-year-old is different than 18-year-old or 28-year-old, and how that goes about. But just ask that question, create a conversation, create a context, see if I can get them to ask in that conversation. If I can't, just say, I've made a choice that way. This is the reason I bring it up, though, is because when I've used that process and made that choice, it hasn't worked out for me. Mm-hmm. And here's where I messed up in that. Might be something for you to think through and see if I can get from that angle to get. Unsolicited advice is just like dynamite, though. There's almost no way you can use that effectively. So you got to walk around it many times, right? Before you set it off, because you can't take it back and you can't unset it. So, but you got to do it sometimes.
Yeah.
Got to do it sometimes. Absolutely.
It's so helpful. There's so many people right now in the exact situation you're describing, where they have a teenager who's making decisions that they don't approve of, maybe isn't pursuing a relationship with God that they're not okay with, and they're trying to decide, how should I approach this situation? And man, that's so, so difficult. I have a couple friends whose teenage kids are considering transitioning. or are already transitioning mm-hmm. without their parents' mm-hmm. consent. Mm-hmm. And so then it becomes, how do you mm-hmm. stop them, or how do you talk to them about that? How aggressive should you be? And man, I sympathize with those people more than I have answers for how to have those conversations. Yeah. Lots of prayer goes into that.
Yeah. Two things keep in mind. Instead of the discussion about should you transition or not, or are you sexually oriented in this way or not? These kind of hard conversations. If you can, ask for just time to ask them to take time to process it rather than just having the debate about the choice itself. So try to have the debate about taking time, and then invite them, if you can, say, listen with me, and then find some other resource, a video on the topic, a counselor that you could go to together. Can we listen together and just process this decision together? I'd like to learn too. So can we process this? Time, process. If you can use your advice for time, process, and not the decision itself.
Yeah.
That can sometimes help.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's just heartbreaking and there's nothing you can do.
Give the Holy Spirit more time to speak to them so they can hopefully.
Let God do his thing.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. Yeah.
That's good. I would like for us to turn a little bit of a corner here
because
I want to do something fun. I heard somebody say, it was an improv actor, and somebody said, how do you come up with the jokes? Because this guy's hilarious. And he said, the key to good improv is the words yes and. And he said, so he said, you have to be a good listener to be good at improv. And he said, as I'm listening to somebody who's improvising something, then I have to be fully aware of what they're saying. But at the same time, I am ready and prepared to add a yes and to the end of what they say, which requires me to be a good listener. And I thought it would be a fun way to end today to reflect on some good old Colin Mockery. And what are their names? Colin and Ryan. Here we go.
Hey, Colin.
Yeah, Ryan.
Here's a little riddle for you.
All right.
What kind of bird always says the name of our next band?
Oh, I guess, tern? An Arctic tern?
And what sound does an Arctic tern make?
Backstreet Boys!
That's wrong.
What are you telling us? What's right?
I was thinking an owl.
Oh,
who? The Who is our next band on this season.
The first time I watched that clip, I cried for a whole day. Not hold it together. I want to be not a person who's responding just to one up.
The
person that's talking to me, like, I have better advice on that topic, or I have something cooler to say about this question. I want to be the person who is adding to the conversation and being, if we can bring our understanding together, bring our knowledge together, bring our wisdom together to build something greater than what either one of us could do on our own. Then in the end, we're both
there. How many words do you think you say a day?
Way too many.
They say we say somewhere between 10 and 20,000 words a day.
Wow.
So I'm trying to be at 6 or 7.
Yeah.
Trying to be at 6 or 7.
In a role where people are constantly asking you for
to talk
advice, or they're asking me for a decision I come home, I tell my wife regularly, I have decision fatigue. It's the thing that I suffer from the most in my life right now. Is everybody's wanting me to make a decision on different things. By the end of the day, I'm like, I don't want to say what we're having for dinner. I don't want to decide what time the kids are going to bed. Let's automate as few decisions as possible because I get tired of that. It's draining. Some people probably get more tired of words than others, but we can never get Grant over there to shut up. Awesome. Good on that. Is there something else you wanted to add?
One thing I would just, as we finish, if having a relationship with God is important to you, it turns out for me, I used to think prayer was I came to God and said a bunch of stuff. Mm. Turns out this applied to prayer.
Yeah.
If I would just shut up a little bit, God had some things he wanted to say. And I'm hearing God in amazing ways now. And it turns out God's words are a little wiser than mine. Who would have thought, right?
Yep.
It's been awesome. It's been awesome. Prayer now involves 70-30. Mm. I say 30, he says 70. And there's no better way to live life.
Wow.
So, yeah.
I'm getting there. I want to be there.
Yeah.
For me, I've been studying a little bit about the Dark Night of the Soul, John of the Cross. And I've heard that phrase a lot in seminary and things, people
right.
talking about it. I always thought about it in terms of people who go through a really hard time. That's not really what it's about.
No.
And then also this idea of quieting yourself before God. I thought it was all only a volume thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, okay, I need to go on a walk and get to a quiet place. But the more I've thought about what does it mean to darken my thoughts, to darken my opinions, to darken my frustration, silence my emotions a little bit. So quieting myself is not so much about a volume of things. It's that's part of it, but it's more about like, I need to rest my worries. I need to rest my opinions and my angers and all those so that God can bring my mind to, he can renew my mind and renew my soul. In speaking to me probably about something that I haven't brought up yet. I didn't even know to ask him about and I needed him to speak to me about it.
Yeah. I try to ask God 5-6 questions a day.
Oh, good.
Instead of telling him what I think about something. It's what do you think about that? Not sure what to think about that. And then just leave it. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've begun starting my prayers. Every morning my prayer starts with, God, what do you want me to pray about?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's my opening sentence.
That's great, man.
Every prayer.
That's perfect.
What do you want me to pray about?
Yeah. So. That's a good thought.
Awesome. Well, thank you for joining us. Thank you for listening to us today. It's been great. We're going to do 10 episodes this semester and then take a break for Christmas and do 10 more after that. And so we are excited that you are getting back into the rhythm with us. If you'd like to like this or share this, whatever platform you happen to be watching it on, let people know that it is available if they want to be using it for whatever resource they are using it for. But we are so excited about this semester. Thank you for joining us today.